Good evening, everybody, and thanks a lot for joining us. The first investor and shareholder call we are holding in this financial year and for the new 3i. So first of all, welcome all of you, and as part of the family, and we'd like to kind of start off with the So as we are beginning this new journey as a new 3i, it's a wonderful journey for us as the company has gone through a carve out, and we are coming out of a carve out, and we are building this new business together. And as this new 3i, which is now starting its journey as a services business, in this first quarter, it's been a very, very interesting time for us. And then the team has come out extremely successful in managing this transition in an extremely fantastic way. This quarter was very important for us because we were trying to make the changes as we were flying the plane. We have no time to land the plane. So we did a phenomenal job in stabilizing the operations post this carve out, seamlessly, without any disruption to our customers, to our stakeholders. This quarter has been a first quarter, has been a focus, has been on getting back to basics, building the foundation, reinforcing our processes, redefining our KPIs and our goals in line with the mission which we have set for ourselves. Just to remind ourselves, we set a mission for ourselves saying that this new 3i, the 3i which is innovate, incubate and invent, will be a $1 billion company, reach this target organically by 2030. To progress in this roadmap, some of the focus areas which we kind of focused in our quarter has been getting back to basics. We got into the rhythm of focusing on our processes, our operational rhythms, ensuring that we are able to deliver on our basics extremely well. And as we dwell into the results also, you will see that the company has started focusing on operational excellence, and with this in background, we have also kind of built a business excellence organization which will focus on this, and also to kind of manage the entire risk and compliance, we have also built the global risk and compliance unit as well. So as we have huge aspirations for growth, we also want to be very grounded on our business excellence and also manage our global risk and compliance. And we have Harish and I with us, who's our chief performance and compliance officer, who heads business excellence and global risk and compliance. And we also have our CFO, Bimal Ghosh. And with this senior team here, you know, we would love to, you know, kind of, you know, start off with this presentation, and we'll be more than happy to kind of, you know, take questions from you all. So quickly, a bit of key business updates for all of you. This quarter, we are proud to share with you all that we've been able to kind of, you know, kickstart this year with good business across the world. And one of the important things for us as a company also is to ensure that we safeguard our revenues, and our focus has been to bring down revenue erosion and ring fence our customers. And, you know, extremely proud to share with all of you that, you know, we have been able to kind of renew a lot of very key large contracts across the world, in US, in Middle East, and in India as well, where we have been able to kind of renew some of the large contracts over a period of 3 years, which is also giving us the comfort that our base from which we are planning to grow is stabilized. So that's an extremely positive part for us. You know, in fact, contracts to the worth of almost 13.74 crores and almost, you know, 3.74 crores and 2.5 crores. We've been able to kind of, you know, renew, and this also helps us to kind of, you know, build a strong foundation for our growth. And similarly, we have also been able to kind of build on some of the large contracts also, which we are kind of, you know, being able to kind of renew as well in our infrastructure management space and application development space as well. And also, some of the new lines of businesses, also we have been able to kind of expand very quickly. And I will talk more about it in the coming slides as well, especially in consulting space, you know, from digital transformation consulting, we've been able to kind of, you know, win almost close to $1 million deal in the U.S., which is first of the kind for the new 3i, because digital transformation consulting will build the foundation for the organization for future transformation as well. And see, these are some of the new lines of businesses which we have been able to kind of, you know, acquire in quarter one. And this will help us to also build our revenues for the future. And quickly, you know, come to the financial results, but I would allow my colleague, Mirnal also to kind of, you know, expand on the results, and then I can give my comments. Mirnal?
Evening, everybody. So as you see, the top line of the company has increased by almost 10 crore rupees. And the income and the basic expenses that we have for operational business is in positive. We have had a slight foreign exchange loss. And we had certain other expenses which were concerned to the deal which we were going ahead with. So that has been recorded as an exceptional item. So the numbers are available as a comparison. The most thing which one has to remember is that the numbers of the previous year and the quarter are not really comparable because of the deal that we did and we sold off the product business. So those numbers are completely skewed because the deal, we sold it as a slump sale. So slump amounts have come in, which has inflated the profit and loss by a large amount. That's it for me.
Thanks, Mirnal. Just to add some of the headlines from what the organization has done here, 2-3 points I want to leave as a DNA which probably we have started emulating in the organization. One is trying to see a focus of, you know, elimination of waste in the system. So very clearly you will see the early trends and early, you know, green shoots in this, where the cost optimization drive in eliminating the waste from the system is very clearly obvious. And in fact, we have some early success in that as well, which is also reflecting in the P&L very clearly. Second, also in a terms of rhythm, in terms of invoice to cash, is something which we are now driving as an organization, where we want to steadily bring down the unbilled revenue and also kind of, you know, maximize our excellence in terms of ability to recognize revenue in the same quarter. So the time from an invoice to cash is a super focus for us on one side, as we kind of recognize revenue and also drive cash. So this is a very important a lever which we are now driving, and this will really kind of, you know, enhance our P&L performance going on quarter to quarter. So I thought I'll just kind of amplified that in terms of the movement of 10 crores as well, you know, which we see, and also the positives we see in our cost as well, of how we are optimizing our cost. Yeah, this is again a kind of a quarter on quarter compared to Q4 and Q1. We have seen that, you know, how we have been able to kind of, you know, improve it, and this is a kind of a trend which we want to keep focusing on and eliminate waste from the system, increase our ability to, you know, drive cash efficiency, and also in terms of, you know, revenue recognition. I think that's a key focus area for us. So, yeah, we will spend pretty some time on this, because the first time we are discussing and, you know, talking about this new 3I. So I would spend a few minutes in this, because it's very important for all of us to be on the same page with regard to our organization. The new vision which we have set for ourselves for this new 3I is to be a trusted global one-stop digital transformation partner who delivers business excellence, an exceptional customer, exceptional outcome to our customers in a new digital decade. So this is a vision which we kind of, you know, set for ourselves. And the mission is very clear, that we discussed about our mission to become a billion-dollar organization committed towards our customer, people, and stakeholders, you all, with continuous orchestration, incubation, innovation, and invention for digital transformation services, harnessing the power of 5G-powered innovation. I think that's the key. We want to be an organization who's going to lead from the front with 5G-powered technology. So this will also set the course for not just services and organization. We will build, we will invent, we will incubate products, platforms, which will create IP and value for our organization and for all of us. To do this, the values and the culture of the organization is extremely critical for us. So I'm not going to read through this culture for you all. You know, we'll share all this, you know, material for you all. But I think I'll just touch upon some of the key aspects and the key values which we want to live by. A, we want to be known as a brand. It's going to be trusted with integrity. Trust and integrity is going to be extremely important for us. The second thing is, in this hyper-competitive environment, we need to kind of, you know, work with speed and agility. It's extremely important for us. Customer first and employee centricity goes hand in hand with us. This is extremely important for us, because both these are important pillars for our success. Voice of customer is directly correlated to voice of employees, and we are extremely going to be a people-focused, people-centric organization. Happy employees will drive happy customers, as simple as that. So we're extremely focused on that. Leadership empathy, collaboration, teamwork, innovate and invent. That's the theme you see. As a brand, we are going to be a brand who will innovate and invent and challenge status quo. Extremely important point. We want to challenge status quo as an organization. And whether it is going to be the markets, whether it's going to be our own solutions, our own processes, we want to be a kind of a change agent. So challenge status quo is going to be an important value. Setting very high goals for ourselves. We want to be a high-performance organization, proud as an organization, we will continuously set high bars for ourselves. Finally, adaptive and a learning organization. A learning organization is able to kind of constantly improve. So that's our values for you all. So again, I think we spoke about it. 2030, by 2030, we want to be a billion-dollar organization. And we want to kind of, you know, be known as a thought leader who's able to incubate, innovate, and also invent. And this is going to be the goals of the new 3I. Okay. And some of the other themes also we want to, you know, leave with all of you is, you know, this reimagining the new 3I. We want to have a kind of entrepreneurship culture within the organization. You know, because we want to see how every employee can be an entrepreneur, an entrepreneur in heart. So this is going to be a huge differentiator. This is going to be a huge DNA change. And because this is going to change the way this organization is going to function. So it's very, very important for us. We spoke about all the, you know, trust and integrity. We spoke about the customer centricity and employee centricity. The key thing is, you know, from a technology standpoint also, you know, we want to be an organization who's going to be known specializing 5G powered edge services. So we want to be ahead of the curve. We want to be an edge-ready organization. We want to be an organization, a one-stop solution who could provide a cloud which is edge-ready, the edge which is secured with SASE. We have analytics at the edge. We got cybersecurity at the edge, so on and so forth. I think that's a very important theme which we want to kind of, you know, drive. And also, if you look at broadly some of the other industries which you want to focus on, you know, beyond our traditional industries, we also want to kind of, you know, see invested in, stay invested in agri-tech and also even, you know, green tech as well. These are big opportunities even from an Indian market perspective. So we also want to kind of build on a go-to-market where we have an extremely focused India business unit who's focused on India to India business. And we are planning to at least generate one third of our revenues from the India region, and also we have different strategies for global markets, and we want to kind of, you know, strengthen our current strong markets like North America and Middle East and ASEAN, and also win back our old customers and reboot the 3i brand in some of our erstwhile strong territories like UK, Europe and Africa as well. So these are parallel tracks where we want to kind of, you know, stay focused in terms of, you know, strengthening our existing geographies, having a separate focused India business strategy, and also kind of win back our customers in some of the emerging geographies, as we call it. So quickly, if you ask me, how do we kind of, you know, accomplish our dream, you know, which we have, and to convert this dream and our vision statement and intent into reality, we want to kind of break it down into a short-term, medium-term plan. So what you see here is, at least in the next 3 years to 5 years, we want to kind of achieve this milestones very clearly as an organization, where the year one where we are right now is change and differentiate. This is the year where we want to quickly change to the new 3i, build the foundations, strengthen ourselves, prepare for the long battle. So we want to kind of, you know, build on the change, find out how we can differentiate ourselves in the marketplace, because that's extremely critical, because unless we are able to differentiate, our customers are not going to see value. So our constant effort will be to be, how do we differentiate ourselves? And our positioning will be that we are going to be a premium brand in the market, and how we could be a trusted premium partner. So differentiation is going to be extremely important. The year two, we want to see very clearly, we want to be a disruptor. Disrupt and change will be the theme for the year two. We want to come up with, now that we are differentiator, can we now very quickly disrupt? We want to disrupt the current engagement models, disrupt the current managed services model, probably offer anything as a service today. So we want to be a disruptor. We want to challenge current models using technology-driven transformation. So that is going to be a one-stop, you know, orchestrator. So disruption and challenging the business models are going to be a theme for the second year. The third year, once we've been able to do that, we'll be able to accelerate and break even. So this is the very critical time where the escape velocity for the organization will happen. And that is when I think we'll be able to really kind of, you know, break away from the pack. This is extremely important. So the first 2 years are extremely important for us to build the escape velocity and get back to our, you know, past glory. I think, you know, we used to be almost close to $1 billion way back in 2008. As an organization. So this is able to, will help us to kind of accelerate and, you know, move ahead of the pack. Fourth year onwards is a very clearly, we want to dominate and lead. This is very clear positioning statements. This is dominate and lead. See, we don't want to be a follower. We want to dominate. We want to be a leader. So it's very simple, and we are very clear. 3i Infotech is going to chart a path to be a leader. We're not going to be a follower. We're going to be a leader, and dominate and lead will be on our fourth year. Fifth year onwards, we want to be setting standards for the market. So this is what we have kind of, you know, chalked out for ourselves, and we want, we have a plan where right from all big fours to all consulting organizations are helping us to kind of, you know, help us walk this journey. So coming back, the next question will be on mind is, okay, fair enough, you know, how are we going to make this happen? So let's get into a little more details of, you know, this plan. So the important one is we have kind of broken our entire strategy into three parts: run, grow, build. We just got to kept it simple, because it's easy to keep it simple. The run portion is what new 3i Infotech inherited today. It's the services business, that's our run business, that's our bread and butter, that was put on the table. We want to kind of ring fence this business and run it more efficiently. It's extremely important for us. For us to do that, our people are our important asset, right? So we need to kind of retain, reboot, and retain our talent. It's extremely important for us, the 3 R's for the run. So we are into that mission where, as we are speaking, we are running multiple, you know, people interventions to kind of, you know, drive this, enable them go through this change, help them to be future ready. And so this is very important for us. Grow, as we said, we want to acquire aggressively new clients globally. It's important for us to quickly, aggressively acquire the new clients, and also accelerate our existing customers. So existing customers we want to accelerate with our new lines of businesses that we are now coming up with, expand the kind of wallet share within our existing customers. And annihilate the competition is where, because we are now going to kind of experiment carefully new business models, new commercial models, which might disrupt the current managed services businesses. We would do that. We would experiment in the year one. We have to be very cautious about it. And once we have the models fine-tuned, we will, as you saw in my previous slide, we will start accelerating those models. And we want to go into this culture of fail fast. We do not want to keep experimenting for a long time. We want to fail fast. One quarter, try. We succeed, it's good. Or we cut losses and move on. So we will want to kind of do that, systematically. Build is something which is going to kind of set us apart. Build, we want to invest in the next generation technologies. We are building a kind of a crack team to help us make it happen. So innovate, incubate, and invent is that. Innovate is where we are really able to quickly orchestrate new solutions, take them to the market, and build COEs around them. That's very, very important. Incubate is where we want to kind of bring in the best-in-class startups, incubate them, but we want to bring in startups who are already commercial grade, and then we want to kind of, you know, see how we can make them enterprise grade, give them access to our global customers, and then generate revenues. And ultimately, we would evaluate, you know, opportunities for us to probably see if we could, take over these startups, or maybe we'll just, you know, work with them as it is, you know. So this is a very important strategy for us. Invent is something where we want to invent, we want to build new technologies, new platforms, and probably invent new services and solutions which will be IP generating for our organization. And just to kind of, you know, we spoke about it, and again, just to highlight this strategy, I'll probably touch upon the run. If you ask me, I also spoke about it. The focus is going to be on increasing profitability and revenue assurance. So we want to kind of run a very predictable business, and that's going to be the hallmark. And to do that, we want to kind of quickly implement some of our technologies and solutions, which we are now trying to kind of, you know, consult with our customers for ourselves, leverage it, and see how we could create a predictable business. So that's extremely important, for us. And also ring fence and ensure that the erosions of revenues can be kind of, you know, fortified is very important. And voice of customer is going to be extremely important for our run business. for Grow, we have brought in some of the best talents into the organization, and this is going to be an extremely aggressive sales-focused organization. The Grow business is going to focus on building the new revenues for the new 3i. So you will see in the quarters to come how this sales engine, and we are building an extremely strong sales armada across the world, and this engine is going to kind of, you know, help us rebrand, reposition ourselves, and disrupt existing businesses or competition. So the Grow is going to be a very important part. We are also building new practices which we can quickly orchestrate and take it to market. Say, for example, we are also building cloud-first services which are SaaS ready. Some of our services in cloud are going to be very unique, and you can watch out for the new launches which are going to happen shortly. I don't want to talk about it right now. Maybe I'll talk about it when the launches happen. So some of these are going to be really cutting edge, next generation technology which we want to kind of go to market with, and all of our cloud will be edge ready, SaaS ready, and so on and so forth. And also in the build, we want to stay focused on say three or four things. We don't want to do too many things. 5G powered cognitive services is one which we are extremely focused on. The second is edge computing services. The third is blockchain powered services, industrial IoT. So this will be our focus area in our build area system. So I think we spoke about most of this. I'll just run through this slides, and we will share them with you all. Again, we spoke about the vertical focus, the industries we will focus upon. So we have been a predominantly a BFSI and government and a bit of retail we had in healthcare. But this, we are now focusing heavily on telecom, media and entertainment, because this will also be not only as an industry, we want to work with telcos to also take this to market, to their enterprises, to their customers, and working with telcos to also offer services for other industries. So this is globally, we are also, as we are speaking, we are trying to kind of, you know, forge these alliances and partnerships to make this happen. So telecom, media, and entertainment will be a huge industry focus for us across the world. And as the quarters go by, we'll be more than happy to update on the progress we make. We spoke about some of the services, service offerings. We'll talk them in more in detail. Geographies we spoke about in terms of our priorities as well. So we will just quickly touch upon some of the services, and then maybe we should have more time for questions, I guess. I think that your slides. So just one second. Previous slide, please. So cloud-first services, we spoke about this. One of the important thing in the cloud is we are launching our own branded cloud very shortly. And I don't want to talk about the brand name and, you know, take the, so we will probably wait for the launch. So we are launching our 3i branded clouds. And these clouds, the uniqueness of the clouds is we also brought in unique technologies by which we'll be able to optimize the cost of cloud by almost, reduce the cost of cloud by almost 30%. We want to stay focused on medium enterprises and SMBs as well, where we'll be able to really optimize the cost of cloud in terms of reduction of the entire optimization of virtual machines and storage spaces there. So that's going to be a huge change. And all the medium enterprises will also be able to kind of buy these clouds which are edge ready. These are SaaS ready because we need to kind of fight cybersecurity attacks at the edge of the network. So we want to keep our clouds edge ready. So fundamentally, our clouds will be 5G ready, and this will be able to take the entire services to the edge of the network. So that's going to be the uniqueness of the 3i cloud. Second, also we are also releasing, coming up with our own SaaS products. These are secure access and secure entry at the edge products. So a 3i powered SaaS products are also going to be launched. We are also launching with other premium clouds as well, with renowned cloud providers. You can watch out for the space. We are also kind of launching these premium, I would call it banking grade, GDPR grade cloud as well. So this is for the premium market, for the enterprises, the same specs in terms of security, cost optimization, banking grade, GDPR grade. So that's what we're doing in Cloud First Services. And quickly on, we have now rebranded our old, we used to call the ADMS or Application Development and Maintenance Services. For 2021, we call it the Application Automation and Analytics Business Unit, which is the AAA services. Fundamentally, I'm not going to go through the slide, but broadly, we are focusing on no-code and low-code in terms of, you know, digital testing. One of the areas also, we are very proud of our own flexible platform. We are kind of relaunching our platform with next-generation technologies, which will disrupt the way testing services is done as well. And all these will be offered as services. Maggie is our cognitive, virtual assistant for IT operations, which kind of changes the way how infrastructure management services happens. Aries is our customer lifecycle management platform and technology. Momenta is our AI-powered business intelligence. So all these technologies are now being launched, and most of them will now be housed in our cloud as well. So if you see, we are now just joining the dots. It's IaaS plus SaaS, PaaS plus SaaS, and offer that business process services. So that's the way the organization is moving. All this will be available on demand, just in time, flexible for the next generation organizations. Yeah, similarly, in infrastructure management services as well, we want to kind of, you know, reboot or reportion this as we call it the digital IMS, which is predominantly digitally enabled, technology enabled, cognitive in nature. And also, one of the key themes we want to also invest in our infrastructure management services, also be ready for the future, is on micro data centers. Now, as we spoke about as a strategy, from the cloud to the edge, we need the micro data centers in between. We want to kind of offer this totally end-to-end for our customers. It's a one-stop shop right from your on-premise infrastructure management to cloud infrastructure management to micro data center infrastructure management and edge devices management, all end-to-end offered by 3i. So this is a key change we are making in our infrastructure management services business as well. We have been able to rope in very senior leaders from the market. In fact, we will talk about it in our leadership team as well. So we are building extremely focused business units across the world. Similarly, at Digital Business Services, we are building digital KPaaS and BPaaS. This is the next generation knowledge processing as a service and business processing as a service, but this is all powered by technology. It's technology embedded, typically a normal, and it's all pay-per-use models, hosted in the cloud, all subscription-driven. So this is what we are building. We have, whether it is a data as a service, a dish and support as a service, or it's knowledge processing as a service. And one of the important lines where we are now working is offering global risk and compliance as a service. So this is an important investment we are making, and in fact, as we speak, we are now getting ready for our launches of global risk and compliance as a service in some of the key territories as well. So this is also going to be a very arrowhead offering for us, and this also builds a sustainable, forecastable revenue for the organization. And it also gives us a customers the flexibility to consume and scale as they grow. And one of the, I think, the neglected areas for 3i has been the digital business process services. We are rebooting this because the convergence of technology, digital, with business process services is extremely important, and how human-humanoid coexistence happens is extremely important for this. So we are rebooting this business totally, and this is going to kind of, you know, disrupt the traditional business process services. We are also kind of, you know, entering into customer lifecycle management, in right from, you know, onboarding to sales to lifecycle management to even debt recovery. But all of this will be digital-led, technology-led, cognitive-powered, AI-powered business process services. So that's the difference. We are not going to offer any vanilla BPO services. It is all going to be tech-led and, you know, very cognitive-enabled super associates who are probably driving these end-to-end processes. So this is going to be a very, very critical arrowhead, and this is a huge business opportunity, because here the top line revenue opportunities are huge in the market, because it's human intensive businesses, and we want to enter this in a very big way, because this also gives us the ability to disrupt the traditional models and also generate maximum margins as well. So it's both a top line and a margin a driver for us. And finally, I spoke about digital consulting services as well. We kind of started off in this transformation consulting. We've been successful. We, in fact, won our first deal in America as well. So that business unit is now, is already got its first business. This is going to be an arrowhead for us. We want to build a network of consulting services across the world. In fact, it's also in line with our Entrepreneur in Residence program, where we want to invite entrepreneurs to join us and be part of the 3i Consulting Services group across the world. And this is going to be a huge a change on the typical traditional models. And next generation services, we spoke about the new investments we are going to make in cognitive computing, edge computing, blockchain. And also we want to kind of expand in industrial IoT and also kind of specialize on digital supply chain, because we see a huge opportunity there. And some partners we work, and this is an expanding list. And finally, like to kind of, the Q1 has been very exciting for us, because as a startup, we were also trying to bring, leaders, and we've been able to attract various talent into the organization. And we have brought in very senior leaders Sax Krishna, who's a chief growth officer for North America and EMEA, industry veteran, has joined us. He used to work for HCL and Atos and all other big names, and he's joined us to lead the growth engine for North America and EMEA. We have Raj Manikam, who has joined us as the chief digital transformation officer. He's an ex-Cognizant, Sintel, Verizon, serial entrepreneur. So he's joined us, and he's our build leader. He's building all the next generation stuff for all of us. We have strengthened our APAC region. We got Colin Song, who has joined us as our APAC head, and we have Priya, who is our chief marketing officer, and we have Sudeep, who leads the chief revenue officer for large deals. And Sudeep leads our focus on large deals. So one of the things, we have set up a new unit only focused on large deals. We want to kind of focus only on large deals are relative for the size we are in. We want to focus on minimum $5 million deals is what we want to focus on. He and his team will focus on that. We have Sri Rupa, who's our global CHRO. We have Mirnal Ghosh, who's our CFO. And we spoke about Harish Sanai, who's our chief performance and compliance officer. And we have Rajiv Lime, who's our company secretary and chief legal officer. So this is the leadership team, and we also have the next level teams for you all, but I'm not going to read through it. But key names I will read here. The India focus, if you look at it, I still manage it as the India BUCU, CEO, but we have brought in Shushank, who's the India business head, extremely focused on India and South Asia. He's a business head for digital IMS, comes from Wipro, IBM and SIFI. He's building this business. These are all people who are coming with a dream of being an entrepreneur. So it's extremely focused team who has joined us. We have Viraf, who has joined us to lead the India sales. We have Kiran, who leads India sales for BPS. There are a lot of new people who have joined us. Amitabh has joined us to be the global delivery head for BPS as well. And practices, we spoke a lot about cloud. We have Nilesh, and we have Rishi Agarwal, who has joined us to build a global AAA practice as well. Leon, who has joined us to build the digital BPaaS and KPaaS. So we got a whole a team of experts and talent who has joined us, and we also have our first entrepreneur residents who joined us, Damodaran Padmanabhan, who joined us to build the cognitive computing services, who himself is an entrepreneur himself. who has joined us to build that. So this is a quick snapshot of the leadership team we have brought on board in the last 90 days. So broadly, that's about it. And we will circulate this deck to all of you, and you know, more than happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Shantanu sir. Going ahead with the questions, I request participants who have a question, please raise your hand and we will unmute you, and you can go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question. We'll just give it a few seconds so that the rest of you wait.
I think, Snyder, your audio was very low, so if you could...
Am I audible now?
Yeah.
We will just wait for a few seconds for the participants to raise their hands, and we will unmute them, and once we've done that, they can unmute themselves and ask questions. Request the participants to mention their name and then the company they represent before they ask the questions. Yeah, Mr. Siddharth Gupta, please go ahead, mention the name of your company and unmute yourself and ask a question. Mr. Gupta, we have unmuted you. Your voice sounds very feeble. Mr. Virendra Verma, we have unmuted you. Please unmute yourself and ask a question.
Yes.
Yeah, you're audible.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So just wanted to understand the entire strategy, like how different, because you just finally talking about the niche category like 5G, media, telecom. Because we have seen a lot of niche companies already there in the listed space as well. Could you just elaborate, like, how will you differentiate from your other peers or the competitors?
No, great question. So, see, as you if you see our entire strategy, there are three parts. One is we are saying we'll innovate, incubate, and invent. Innovate is we want to very quickly orchestrate solutions which are focused on our customers' problem statement. So we are going to be extremely focused on customers. There are very niche providers. We will also work with certain niche providers. We are not going to build everything. But our focus is on solving a business problem, solving a customer's problem. So our differentiator is focus on domain, focus on functional expertise, and how to use technology to solve problems. So this is a very, very important differentiator. Now, second, how do we orchestrate that quickly and also align it to business outcomes on business KPI. This is going to be an important differentiator. We want to kind of, you know, do that. The third is also the engagement model. So how do you want to kind of disrupt the engagement model? Say, a competition could be offering a transaction-based model. I'm just saying it's an example where we may be able to stand up and say, we will take a lower fixed, a higher outcome-based, because we are very confident because our investments and understanding our customers' business needs and their KPIs and our ability to kind of align technology towards that will be a differentiator. So,
sir, second question, like say on this capital restructuring, I think yesterday there was a board meeting and which was up with the record dates. Just wanted to understand this restructuring, because what the notices say is that 10 paid up capital face value share gets converted to 1, then subsequently into 10 share. So just in a very simple layman language, say if I hold 100,000 shares, post restructuring, how many shares I will get? And plus, what will be the paid up capital post entire restructuring?
Yeah, so maybe you want to...
We are doing this capital reduction exercise. We are done a one-tenth reduction. So 1/10 is the reduction in the shares that will happen to you. So if you are holding 100 shares, you will be ending up holding 10 shares.
And the capital, paid up capital also gets reduced by the similar amount. So like you have almost 1600 crore paid up capital that comes back to maybe a 161 crore. That should be our understanding.
Yes, the paid up capital will come down to 161.
And will there be any trading suspension in this entire transition process? Maybe like because the record date has been announced.
Yeah. So there will be the suspension of trading will happen, and the shares will get reprocessed in 3 weeks.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
The next question we'd like to take from Mr. Siddharth Gupta. Please unmute yourself, Mr. Gupta, and ask a question.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Right. Good evening. I'm Siddharth Gupta from Voyager Capital, and congratulations to Mr. Thompson, Rinal, and Deej for posting such a great, and the rest of the team for posting such a great set of numbers. My confidence has just grown in the team and the management since our last call. I just have a few questions for you. So you managed, firstly, reducing the timeline between raising invoices and actually generating the cash, which is a great thing to hear from the management. But what I'm actually curious about is what percentage of your existing clientele of the services business from the previous year have you managed to retain for in this year going forward? And secondly, what part of the revenue that we've posted is coming in from newer businesses that or the newer ideas that we're trying to expand into, right? And secondly, an interesting thing that I noticed was a major expense for us is the employee benefits expense that we spent. Now, and it's great, and I do understand that the fact that we are hiring a bunch of newer people to expand and run with our grow and build strategy. And we also have to at the same time continue with our run strategy, as you mentioned, right? But how do we plan on reducing this expense? Because at the end of it, profitability would come from reducing this major expense in itself. Because I'm assuming the rest of the, as you mentioned, there were small charges which were related to the transaction, which I don't think would incur on our losses in the next quarters, as to so to speak. So, yeah, those are the two major questions that I have, and we can probably come back later if I have any.
So, thanks. I'll try and answer your first question, which is the mix of revenue you spoke about. So, as we speak, we've been able to kind of, you know, I spoke about revenue erosion or retention of existing revenue, because that's our important part of the run business. As we speak, we have confirmation for more than almost 90% of our revenues, which are secure for the company, which is very important. And we are working hard to ensure that the balance contracts get renewed. As I spoke about, this quarter one also is very successful because we were able to renew all the contracts which had come due. And in fact, we have had an upside of almost 10% of revenue commit for the next 3 years from those contracts. So that's a positive part of the retention part which you asked, Siddharth. Second question you asked is how much of this came from new businesses. I'll break it into three parts. We call it the run, grow and build. Grow is where we are also not necessarily the build part of it. I would say, I'm not saying about that. The other ones are the typical disruptive models we are talking about, in our engagement models or our managed services models, and also kind of trying to offer some transformational services. We've been very successful. In fact, it is there in the presentation as well, but just to quickly put some headlines, we've been able to kind of win new contracts across the world in our primary geographies for those businesses. Especially, I would touch upon at least top of my mind, which I'm kind of proud about is, you know, we have won some deals in BI analytics. That's very important for us, and that's also specifically in data science and analytics. So these are very important. We won some contracts on data lake, data mart management, and also data science and analytics as well. So that is extremely good. Second, we also kind of won something on Moody Analytics, which is again a very niche one which you have picked up. These are new lines which 3i has not sold for a very long time, you know, if you ask me. I'm just touching about that. And third, also, as we speak, we are also kind of got our first deals on our cloud transformation in a box as well. So that's another service line which we are now offering, where we are offering cloud transformation in a box, where also we are giving an industry twist to it. Say, for example, a credit union banking industry in US wants to migrate their applications to the box. We have a in a box solution, so it's as simple as that. We do it in a super fast migration. So these type of services are getting traction, and we have won deals in quarter one. And your other question, the third question which you asked, Siddharth, is your our ability to kind of, you know, maximize our margins. So what we have done is we have broken our entire strategy into three parts. As I said, the run, very clearly we want to drive it in terms of margin enhancement. So margin enhancement is going to be the deliverable of business excellence team, as I spoke about. As we speak, we have ironed out clear cut three or four areas where we want to kind of focus and eliminate waste in the system. And this waste will contribute to easily 2.5 to 3% waste we will remove out of the system, which will again be cycled back into the business. And, you know, it's going to straight away go back to our bottom line on the run side of it. And some of the other gains which we'll make as well, I'll give you a small example. You know, in fact, as we are speaking, post-carve-out, we are now optimizing our infrastructure. Now, in a world like this, we have been having huge, monthly OPEX on infrastructure. You know, we have kind of optimized that, whether it is physical infrastructure or our, practicing what we speak, can we kind of, you know, apply our own cloud for ourselves? These are huge upsides you will see. And in fact, this year, this quarter itself, we have started seeing the green shoots of those savings which are coming into the company's, bottom line. I don't know whether I answered the questions.
No, I did get a glimpse into where you're coming from. I was just slightly more concerned. So this you mentioned with regard to the run strategy, which deals with existing employees, right? And you mentioned that you're looking to reduce expense by roughly 3 to 4% of your as a margin. But with regard to build and grow, right, which is where it's a more expansionary area where you'd be hiring talent or building on existing talent from the market, right? That would be, I'm assuming, a bit more adding on to your employee benefit expense. So I'm a bit concerned about how we plan on addressing that. And secondly, it's where I'm very interested with the cloud security. When you mentioned cloud transformation, are we entering this business as a product or as a service? Or we are marketing our service as a product that we are well able to say do what Zscaler does or maybe what Oracle does and what AWS does, and we just combine those and launch them as a service in one end. Is that what we are going?
Yeah, there are two parts to that. One is we are also productizing our service. That's very important.
Right.
And also we are also building our own products and also selling it as a service. Both are happening, if you ask me.
Okay.
So right from even white labeling certain technologies, as I spoke, and then kind of building center of excellence around them. So we are also building our own IP around those core technologies. We don't want to reinvent already a technology which is available, but we are building around it. And then we are also converting those products as services and selling them. And also, in the other case, when I spoke about the box, it is productizing our services. Where can we standardize this go-to-market? So it's productized, right? We reduce the variability in terms of approaches. So we are doing both. And, in fact, we are making a very big launch, shortly you'll hear about it. You know, I don't want to talk about it right now. But these are very clear. And also, to your other question, I'll try and answer that. See, the build portion, Siddharth, for us, very clearly, we want to keep it as a separate investment for the company. So the company is very clear and where we pick our battles where we want to invest. These are like startups with our own company and budgets. We have very clear, you know, rigorous ROI mechanisms by which we want to kind of, you know, track them. And then they will build IP and then they will commercialize. So we want to keep these tracks very, very independently running. They will converge at a point of time, Siddharth.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Thompson. Thank you for those answers. They were very helpful. I'll let someone else take the questions now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta. The next question is from the line of Tanush Mehta. I'll unmute you. Sir, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself and your company, and go ahead with your question. Mr. Tanush Mehta? Yeah, Mr. Mehta, please go ahead with your question.
Yes.
Yeah. So firstly, there's been quite a lot of... Hello?
So can you mention the name of your organization?
Yeah. I'm Tanush. I'm from Mehta Investments. So, sir, I have two questions. Firstly, basically both will be quite broad, keeping in mind the future of the company. So my first question is that, what will be the ultimate goal of, the company when it comes to, generation of ROI? And in future, how do we see, things like big data, machine learning and artificial intelligence actually playing out? Because now everyone is talking about the same thing, but how do you see that coming and how do we see these things integrating in our company? And the other thing will be, what are some challenges that the, certain... leading organizations are actually facing in this kind of a technology which is actually quite new to everyone, and what we can learn from that.
Thanks, Tanush. It's a great question, and I'm very passionate about it. I'll try and answer them together. One is, the power of data, and I'm saying, data is going to explode. This is a data explosion which is happening. And this decade is, data is the new oil. That's the way I will look at it, it also aligns with our strategy on the edge. Because you look at it, data is going to be generated at the edge of the device. So each of us carry a mobile and device. Our homes have got smart devices. There is Alexa controlling all this. So devices are going to get more and more intelligent. So data is not going to be generated just by our mobile phones. Every device with an IP is going to generate data. So there's going to be a data explosion of almost 3x, 5x time. 5G is just going to fuel this. So using this data, now what do we do with the data? There are two parts. Data gives huge insights. It gives us huge opportunities to understand our consumer behavior from our customer's perspective. Like, our customer's customer. Now, two, three areas where we would want to kind of, take the lead. Because of the data explosion, there's going to be huge need for cost of storage, cost of processing. So this is a huge cost. 3i wants to focus on enabling our customers to reduce the cost because we want to move the processing to the edge of the network. So it is a GPU to a CPU is very important trend which 3i will focus on. Second is, now once I've been able to do that, reduce the cloud cost because I moved it to the micro data center, I moved processing power to the edge, then we are able to reduce the cost of cloud infrastructure. That's the first thing. The second part is, now since we have this data, we need to build on SASE and safe, secure access and secure entry. Because now, cyber thefts, cyber attacks are going to happen at the edge of the device. How do we help our customer, let's say a telco for example, to protect their consumer at the edge? So that will be our specialty. Can I secure the edge device from security threats? Second, important. Third, now data. Can we find the power of this data to provide real-time insights, real-time analytics? So we want to play and invest in real-time analytics, because the days are gone where we spoke about predictive analytics. Today, the days are about prescriptive analytics, next best action, and now it's real-time analytics. So can we specialize on cognitive real-time analytics is a focus area for 3i. So broadly, these are the three areas. You know, probably I don't know whether I answered your question, because on even on big data, AI and ML, this is a big subject, but we want to stay super focused on which is related to the edge of the network. So 3i will be known as an organization who's a leader with regard to the edge powered services. Thank you.
Mr. Mehta, hope your question was answered. So moving on to the next caller, Mr. Abhishek Maheshwari. Please unmute yourself and introduce yourself and ask a question.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Mr. Maheshwari.
Yes, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity and the elaborate presentation. Sir, I'm not a IT sector analyst, so pardon my ignorance here. So, sir, I just wanted to know what are your areas of interest going to be industry-wise? Are you going to be more focused on telecom or internet or cloud side of things? Because a lot of work is happening in each and every sector. So.
Great question, Abhishek. I think, these are two parts, right? One is, let's say even horizontally, we want to build this 5G-powered services, which could be, as I spoke, on cognitive or blockchain. Each of it, we have to have an industry specialization. So our mantra would be focused on our customers, and customers are part of an industry. So we have to have huge industry orientation and customer orientation. And obviously, as a startup, as what we are calling, we can't go and solve multiple industry problems. So right now, we want to strengthen our BFSI stronghold, which we are known for it. We want to get more deeper into it. Focus on, even within the banking space, I said, focus on credit union banks in the US, maybe like a mid-segment banks or provincial banks, as an example I'm saying. Even in the financial services, on fintechs, and even on insurance. So we'll stay focused on our BFSI capability, because that's our mainstay. The new investments we want to make in the industry is telecom, media, and entertainment, because we see a huge opportunity in this decade. We will stay invested in that. We will build services which are aligned to those industries. Government has been our big stronghold. We will continue to focus on GovTech, which we call it, and that will really, expand our business. Future areas of investments, we will stay focused on green tech, because sustainability is a big subject across the world. We want to stay focused on green tech. It is extremely important. Even when we want to bring in GRC services, we want to stay focused on helping companies to be focused on ESG, as an example. So, and green tech is going to be a very, very important focus area for us in terms of emerging industries. And we will revisit our strategy, because we want to just take baby steps, stay focused on a few industries, get grounded, and then maybe year on year we would try and see how to build our capabilities under other industries.
Okay, thank you, sir. And sir, I have one more question. Of your current revenues, how much of it are annual recurring revenues? So I'm talking about your order book visibility. If you have any long-term contracts with your clients or customers.
Yeah, so see, any IT services company, all of us have a mix of professional services, managed services, and other forms of contract. So broadly, if you ask me to your question, more than 80% of our contracts are you know, annualized contracts. And but in a modern world, you know, Abhishek, you know that unless we provide that consistent, you know, customer experience and the customer expectations, you know, there's always, so that is why it's very important in this decade, we can't just take any contracts, even a TCV contract, there could be disruptions because, so to your question, simple question, around 80 to 85% are, you know, annualized contracts which we have, and we want to kind of, you know, expand that further and also kind of see how we can ring fence them also. And the larger focus is how to expand on these accounts, Abhishek. That will be our key focus this year because expansion of account also brings more customer stickiness because we'll have more lines of business within a customer and customer stickiness increases. And also, we'll be able to drive better customer loyalty as well, Abhishek.
Yeah, great, Sahil. Thank you very much and all the best to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you, Mr. Maheshwari. We'll go on to the next question from Mr. Harpreet Kaur. Mr. Punch, please introduce yourself, unmute yourself, and ask the question.
As an investor here, first of all, I must congratulate to you, Mr. Thompson, to put the first paddle in the absolute right direction, and all the best for the Q2 and further and the other quarters. I have two questions. First, I would like to know that what was the attrition on the leadership level and on the ground forces level during this transmission period? And second, if you can light on your outlook on the credit rating revision since the company is debt-free now. So what is your outlook on credit rating revision?
Yeah, the first question I'll take and second I'll allow my colleague Mirnal to answer on the credit rating. He's an expert on that. But the first question is... the good thing, you know, when it's a very important question you ask, because for during any transition, it is important for our key leaders and also mid-management, also our foot soldiers to be aligned. I think we did a pretty good job as an organization to be able to retain our people. We have not had any serious attrition so far. We have been able to manage the transition. And that's why I said, you know, we were able to keep preparing the flight as we are flying across Atlantic Ocean. And that's a pretty good job we have done as a team. And also the board has been behind us. We have been able to kind of, you know, bring about extremely good changes as well. Which has also kind of, you know, helped our employees to align with the new vision. And as I said, my key strategy is also to kind of see how will we retain, retrain, and reboot our employees, Mr. Poonj. You know, so that's a very important focus for us. And we've been able to do it well so far. And we've also been able to attract a lot of talent, as I said. You know, so both has been happening, retaining our existing talent and also, you know, attracting new talent, Mr. Poonj. Yep. So, Mirnal, you want to answer the second question, please?
Yeah, see, our ratings were...
Your voice is not audible, Mirnal.
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, so the rating... just a second. There's an echo coming in. Okay. So rating agencies had rated us based on the debt and debt liabilities which we are carrying. So as you are aware that the company has reduced its Indian debt to zero. We have repaid all the loans as a part of the deal. We have also returned the preference shares. We have redeemed the preference shares. The only thing which is left in our books is now the foreign convertible debentures, which is again in the process of being... return to the originators, but that requires an RBI approval. So the rating agencies basically rate you based on your debt also. So currently, CARE and CRISIL are both going through the ratings based on the financials produced after the split of the company. So currently we are still at the BBB- The watch has been moved to stable. So they will be conducting the review after the first quarter results. They will have a detailed review and then they should be able to reaffirm or change the ratings accordingly.
Sure, Minal.
So currently the company is debt-free.
Sure, Minal. Thank you so much, sir, and very impressive work, Thompson.
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kunz. Thanks for your question. So now we will just take a few questions from the Q&A window, where there are a few investors who have written out their questions on the comments section. There is one question from Mr. Sanjot K. So his question is, can you please share some names of some big deals won during the last 6 months?
Offhand, I may not be able to see whether I need to check my non-disclosures, but we could talk about a few ones, the government ones. You want to talk about? Yeah, so one is BSES Emuna project we have won in India, which is a big one, it's a government project, we have won that. And IOCL also, we were able to rebid and we win the deal again. These are two big ones which... And in US also, we've been able to bring on board Uniter's account. It's a new logo acquisition which we have done. And India Infoline in India is a new account we have brought in this queue. These are some of the accounts. The other ones, I need to check whether we are okay to share the names of the customers.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. So he's got two follow-up questions. Can you please explain how the SOA process is going to work, and when is the delisting and relisting going to happen?
I think, Snyder, what we will do is, on the SOA, maybe we should probably, have a separate communication released, and I think it will be better for our company secretary to, give a little more elaborate, response. So we will probably, we'll take this as an action item. I think we will, because the simple, August 31st is the record date, because we have informed the stock exchange, and 31st will be the record date. And from there, I think it will be 3 weeks, in my understanding, where our shares will be delisted. And those are the logistics in terms of timelines. But anyway, we will come back. I think there are a lot of... We will come back to the formal communication for benefit of everybody.
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much. And the last question for the day would be from Mr. Sanjot. Plans to increase shareholder value and shareholder and share price, considering the IT services companies are trading at PE of above 30.
No, of course, Sanat, we will definitely work towards that. As we said, we want to kind of fire on all three cylinders. One is run our current business more efficiently. We will, drive more profitability, that's for sure. We will aggressively grow our top line, and with more profitable business, very, very clearly we want to change the revenue mix in terms of type of revenues we want to bring into the organization. We want to bring in a high margin business very, very clearly. Over a period of time, systematically, we want to change the revenue mix. Third, we want to build better products and technology which are IP generation. So this IP is going to be the huge value addition for our shareholders, because this is not just going to be a services company. We will also create products which will generate huge IP. And our vision is most of these product divisions will become independent subsidiaries, which will generate immense valuation. And we hope and see that maybe we could have another unicorn in the next 3 to 4 years. Who knows?
Sure, sir. Sure. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
With this, we conclude today's interaction. I would hand the floor over to Thompson, sir, for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
No, thanks a lot. And, you know, it's been an exciting quarter for us. And already a month in quarter two is gone. So it's going to be a fast-paced quarter two as well. And we are going to be a fast-paced company. And looking forward to all your support. And as always, as the new 3i family, and I would love to kind of, you know, catch up with all of you, maybe in a face-to-face meeting, you know, the next time around. Thank you all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for participating in the call today. For any queries, you can get in touch with the AdFactors team, and we will we'll try to address your queries at the very best.